A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one after a bit of a production adventure we had. An episode earlier today shipped with a bug that made chunks of audio loop back on themselves. Listeners who were multitasking got a few minutes of wondering if they'd slipped into the Matrix before realizing the file was glitched. Daniel said it made him think about déjà vu, that strange moment where you know you haven't lived through something before, but a part of your brain insists this is a replay. He's asking what the cognitive reason is for why it happens. And honestly, if our bug gave a few thousand people a free déjà vu simulation, the least we can do is explain what was actually going on in their heads.
That feeling of hearing the same thing twice. It turns out your brain does that to you all the time, just without the audio file. And the science here is genuinely fascinating because it's not some spooky fringe thing. About 60 to 70% of people report experiencing déjà vu at least once, with peak frequency in young adults between 15 and 25. It's one of the most common cognitive quirks we have.
I like that it peaks right when your brain is supposedly at its sharpest. You'd think a well-oiled machine wouldn't glitch, but apparently that's exactly when it does.
That's actually a clue about the mechanism, but let's define the thing first. Déjà vu is the subjective impression of familiarity in a situation that is objectively novel. It's distinct from precognition. You're not predicting what happens next, you're feeling like the present moment already happened. And it's distinct from paranormal explanations. This is a known study phenomenon in cognitive neuroscience, not evidence that you're an amnesiac time traveler.
I want to pause on that distinction between familiarity and precognition, because I think people conflate them all the time. Someone will say, I had déjà vu, and then the thing I predicted actually happened. But that's not what we're talking about here, is it?
Not at all. What they're describing is actually a separate phenomenon called postdiction. The brain retroactively constructing a narrative where the feeling of familiarity gets woven into a story about predicting the future. You feel the familiarity surge, something happens, and then your brain connects the dots backward and says, ah, I must have sensed that coming. It's the same mechanism that makes you think you knew the plot twist was coming after you've already seen it. The feeling of familiarity is real, but the causal link to future events is a narrative your brain constructs after the fact.
It's not that déjà vu gives you a glimpse of the future. It's that déjà vu gives you a feeling, and then your storytelling brain turns that feeling into a prophecy.
And once you know that, you can actually catch yourself doing it in real time, which is a very strange experience. You feel the familiarity hit, and then a split second later your brain starts spinning up a justification. I must have dreamed this, or I knew that person was going to walk through the door. If you can hold the raw sensation without buying the narrative, you get a very clear view of your own cognitive machinery at work.
What is it then? A glitch in the memory system, or a feature of how the brain constructs a coherent sense of the present?
That's exactly the framing question the research circles around. And I'd say the evidence points to it being a feature, or at least the visible edge of a feature. It's what happens when the normally invisible scaffolding of memory construction briefly pokes through into conscious awareness.
All right, so what's actually happening upstairs when the world feels like a replay? Let's open the hood on the memory system.
The leading cognitive theory is called the dual processing or memory mismatch hypothesis. Here's the basic idea. When you walk into a room, your brain is processing incoming sensory information through multiple parallel pathways simultaneously. Two of the most important ones for this phenomenon are the rhinal cortex and the hippocampus.
The rhinal cortex being the fast one, I'm guessing.
The rhinal cortex, which includes the entorhinal and parahinal cortices, handles familiarity detection. It's lightning fast. It takes in the gist of a scene and within milliseconds signals, this feels familiar, or this is new. It's not giving you details, it's giving you a vibe. Meanwhile, the hippocampus is doing the slower, more detailed work of encoding the specific context, where you are, what objects are present, the sequence of events, the full episodic memory.
Déjà vu happens when the vibe arrives before the facts.
That's a perfect way to put it. The rhinal cortex fires off a familiarity signal. I've seen this before. Before the hippocampus has finished its work of checking whether you actually have a matching episodic memory. Your conscious brain gets hit with this powerful sense of recognition, but when it tries to retrieve the specific memory that would explain it, there's nothing there. That mismatch between the feeling of familiarity and the absence of a specific recollection is the eerie core of déjà vu.
It's not that you're remembering something you forgot. It's that the "this is familiar" alarm went off by mistake.
Right. And the "by mistake" part is important. It's a false positive in the familiarity detection system. Think of it like a smoke alarm that goes off when you're searing a steak. The alarm is working correctly in the sense that it detected something, but it's responding to a cue that doesn't actually mean the house is on fire. Your familiarity detector got triggered by something in the environment, but there's no actual memory to back it up.
I love that analogy, and I want to stretch it a bit further. With a smoke alarm and a seared steak, the alarm isn't broken. It's just responding to a stimulus that overlaps with the thing it's designed to detect. Smoke particles from cooking share features with smoke particles from a fire. So in the déjà vu case, what's the equivalent of the steak smoke? What's triggering the alarm if there's no fire?
This is where some of the cleverest experimental work comes in. A researcher named Akira O'Connor and his colleagues at the University of St. Andrews did a landmark study in 2016 using virtual reality. They had participants navigate through a series of virtual environments, rooms with specific spatial layouts, furniture arrangements, that kind of thing. Later, they showed participants new scenes that had the same spatial layout as earlier scenes, but with completely different objects and textures.
The geometry matched, but the content didn't.
And about 50% of participants reported experiencing déjà vu in those moments. Their brains detected the spatial similarity, the underlying grid of the room. But because the surface details were all different, they couldn't consciously identify why it felt familiar. The familiarity system picked up on the pattern match, but the hippocampus had no specific episode to retrieve.
That's remarkably high. 50% from just rearranging the furniture.
It tells you how much of your sense of familiarity is operating below conscious awareness. Your brain is constantly pattern matching against past experiences, and most of that matching never reaches the surface. Déjà vu is one of the rare moments where the matching process becomes visible, but only the output, not the input. You get the "match found" signal without seeing what matched.
Which is exactly what happened to our listeners with the bugged episode. Their brains detected a pattern. I've heard these words before, but the context was wrong. The episode hadn't actually restarted. The file had just looped.
That's a great parallel. In the bug case, the repetition was external and real. The audio actually did repeat. In déjà vu, the repetition is internal and illusory. The brain generates a familiarity signal without an external repetition. But the subjective experience is remarkably similar. Your brain says this has happened before, and you're left trying to figure out whether to trust that signal or dismiss it.
The unsettling part is how specific it feels. It's not a vague, this seems familiar. It's a visceral conviction that you've lived this exact moment.
That specificity is what makes déjà vu so compelling and, for some people, distressing. And it points to another piece of the neurological puzzle. There's a clinical population that experiences déjà vu far more intensely and frequently than the general population. People with temporal lobe epilepsy.
I was hoping you'd get to that. Seizure auras, right?
Many temporal lobe epilepsy patients report intense, prolonged déjà vu as an aura immediately before a seizure. It can last minutes rather than seconds, and it's often accompanied by a sense of impending doom or profound significance. This localizes the phenomenon pretty cleanly to the temporal lobe, and specifically to the parahippocampal gyrus and entorhinal cortex.
Neurosurgeons have actually triggered it by stimulating those areas.
During pre-surgical mapping, when surgeons electrically stimulate the entorhinal cortex, patients will sometimes report sudden déjà vu experiences. It's one of the most reliable ways to induce the sensation. You're literally poking the familiarity circuit and watching it fire.
That has to be one of the strangest experiences in medicine. You're lying there on an operating table with part of your skull open. A surgeon touches a spot on your brain with an electrode, and suddenly you're convinced you've lived this exact surgical scene before, even though you definitely haven't.
the reports from patients are fascinating because they often describe it as more than just familiarity. Some say it comes with an overwhelming emotional charge, a sense of cosmic significance, like the moment is freighted with meaning they can't articulate. That's probably because the stimulation is also activating nearby structures in the temporal lobe that process emotion and assign salience. You're not just triggering the familiarity circuit, you're triggering the this matters circuit at the same time.
It's deja vu with the emotional volume cranked to 11.
And that actually tells us something important about normal deja vu. In the healthy brain, the familiarity signal is usually relatively clean. It's just a cognitive tag saying this matches something. But when the temporal lobe is hyperexcitable, as in epilepsy, the signal bleeds into adjacent circuits and picks up all this emotional freight. It's a reminder that cognition and emotion are not cleanly separated in the brain. They're interwoven, and when one system misfires, it can drag others along with it.
We know where it lives, and we know what triggers it. The dual processing theory seems pretty solid, but here's where I want to push further. What does this tell us about how memory actually works? Because the standard metaphor is that memory is like a video recording, and déjà vu makes no sense in that model.
This is where it gets really interesting. Déjà vu is a window into the fact that memory is fundamentally reconstructive, not reproductive. Your brain doesn't store a video file of your life and play it back. It stores fragments, sensory impressions, spatial relationships, emotional tones, semantic content, and reconstructs a coherent experience from those fragments every time you remember something.
The present moment is also a reconstruction.
What you experience as now is actually a highly processed construction that your brain assembles from sensory inputs, predictions, and memory fragments. It takes about half a second for all those streams to sync up into what feels like a unified present. Déjà vu is what happens when one component of that construction, the familiarity tag, arrives out of sequence. The scaffolding of consciousness becomes briefly visible.
It's like catching a glimpse of the stagehands moving the scenery.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Normally, the stagehands are invisible and the set just appears. In déjà vu, you briefly see someone moving a flat and you realize the whole thing is constructed.
Which explains why it's more common when you're tired or stressed. The stagehands get sloppy.
Fatigue and stress reduce the precision of neural timing. The synchronization between the fast familiarity pathway and the slower contextual pathway gets looser, and you get more false positives. It's also why it peaks in young adults. Their brains are highly plastic and undergoing massive synaptic pruning, which means the timing systems are in flux. It's not a sign of something wrong, it's a sign of a system that's actively recalibrating.
I want to dig into that synaptic pruning point, because it's one of those developmental facts that sounds alarming until you understand what it's actually doing. Teenagers aren't losing brain cells in a bad way, they're optimizing.
Synaptic pruning is a massive reorganization where the brain eliminates connections that aren't used frequently and strengthens the ones that are. It's like a forest management strategy. You clear out the underbrush so the remaining trees can grow stronger. But during that process, the timing of neural signals can get a little unpredictable. Pathways that used to fire in tight synchrony might drift slightly out of phase. And if your familiarity pathway and your contextual pathway drift out of phase by just a few hundred milliseconds, you've created the exact conditions for déjà vu.
The peak in young adulthood isn't a sign that teenage brains are broken. It's a sign that they're under construction, and the construction process occasionally kicks up some cognitive dust.
And the fact that déjà vu frequency drops off after 25 or so isn't because the brain stops working well. It's because the construction project is largely complete and the timing systems have stabilized. Though it never drops to zero, which tells you that even a well-calibrated system will occasionally produce a false positive.
If someone's experiencing déjà vu frequently and it's freaking them out, the advice isn't see a neurologist immediately. It's get some sleep.
In the vast majority of cases, yes. Déjà vu in healthy individuals is a normal cognitive hiccup, like a tip-of-the-tongue state or a visual illusion. It's not a sign of a neurological disorder. It's only when it's accompanied by other symptoms, loss of awareness, automatisms, the kind of intense and prolonged episodes seen in temporal lobe epilepsy, that it warrants medical attention.
Let's talk about the tip-of-the-tongue comparison, because I think that's illuminating. Both are metacognitive feelings. Your brain is reporting on its own internal state.
Right, and they're interestingly opposite in a way. A tip-of-the-tongue state is a signal that a memory exists but is temporarily inaccessible. You know the word is in there, you can feel its shape, but you can't retrieve it. It's a failure of access with an intact familiarity signal. Déjà vu is a familiarity signal with no memory to access. One is, I know this, but I can't find it. The other is, I feel like I know this, but there's nothing to find.
Both are your metacognitive system giving you a readout that's partially accurate and partially misleading.
Both are useful signals if you know how to read them. A tip-of-the-tongue state tells you the information exists and might be retrievable with the right cue. Déjà vu tells you that something in your environment matches a pattern your brain has encoded, even if you can't consciously identify what it is.
I've never thought of déjà vu as useful information before. It always just feels like an error to be dismissed. But you're saying there's actually something actionable in it.
If you're in a novel environment and you get a déjà vu hit, it means your brain detected a structural similarity to something in your past. That could be useful. Maybe the spatial layout of this new office matches a building where you previously had a bad experience, and your brain is flagging it before your conscious mind has figured out why you feel uneasy. The familiarity signal might be false in the sense that you haven't been here before, but the pattern match that triggered it is real. Your brain found something.
It's like a notification from a background process. You can dismiss it, or you can open it and see what it's trying to tell you.
That's a great way to frame it. Most of the time, it's just a false alarm, and you can ignore it. But occasionally, paying attention to what triggered the feeling might surface something useful. A connection you hadn't consciously made, a pattern you hadn't noticed.
Which brings us to the AI parallel, because I know you've been thinking about this.
I have, and I think it's one of the most productive ways to think about what déjà vu actually means. Modern large language models, including the one that wrote our buggy script, operate on a principle that's strikingly similar to the familiarity system in the brain. They generate text by predicting the most probable next token based on patterns learned during training. They have no episodic memory, no specific recollection of individual experiences. They just have a massive statistical model of what tends to follow what.
When a language model generates something that sounds right, it's operating on familiarity without context.
It's pure rhinal cortex with no hippocampus. The model says this sequence of words feels correct given the patterns I've learned, but it has no grounded memory of a specific source or event. Déjà vu is the human analog of a model hallucinating a plausible but ungrounded memory. Your familiarity system fires, but there's no episodic record to back it up.
Our production bug was a double layer of this. The AI wrote the script based on statistical familiarity, and then the file system created an actual repetition. External and internal pattern matching failures stacked on top of each other.
It's almost elegant in how many ways it went wrong. But the AI parallel is useful for thinking about both systems. In AI, we talk about the problem of hallucination, the model generating confident-sounding output that isn't grounded in fact. In human cognition, déjà vu is a kind of hallucination of memory. The brain generates a confident familiarity signal that isn't grounded in actual experience.
The solution in both cases is some kind of context verification.
That's the actionable insight. In the brain, the hippocampus is supposed to serve as the verification step. It checks the familiarity signal against stored episodic memories. When that check fails or arrives too late, you get déjà vu. In AI systems, especially retrieval augmented generation architectures, you have an analogous structure. The model generates a response based on its internal weights. That's the familiarity system. And then a retrieval step checks that response against an external knowledge base. That's the hippocampus.
If you're building AI agents or scripts, you should be implementing explicit context verification steps. Don't just trust the familiarity signal.
Just as the brain should double-check a familiarity signal against episodic memory, your code should verify a generated output against its actual source. If you're generating a summary of a document, check the summary against the document. If you're generating code, test the code. The feeling of this looks right is not the same as this is right.
Which is something our buggy script agent clearly didn't do.
We're living the metaphor.
I want to push on this metaphor a bit, though, because I think there's a limit to how far we should take it. The brain's familiarity system evolved over millions of years to help organisms navigate physical environments and social situations. A language model's familiarity system was trained on text corpora. Are we at risk of over-analogizing here?
That's a fair pushback, and I think the answer is that the analogy is structural, not functional. The architecture of a dual-process system. One fast, pattern-matching component and one slower, context-verifying component seems to be a general solution to the problem of making decisions under uncertainty. Whether it's implemented in neurons or in transformer layers, the basic design principle holds. But you're right that the specific implementations are wildly different, and we shouldn't pretend that a language model is experiencing anything when it hallucinates.
The analogy is useful for system design, but not for understanding consciousness.
I'm not suggesting that ChatGPT has inner experience. I'm suggesting that the architectural pattern, fast familiarity check plus slow context verification, is a robust design pattern that appears in both biological and artificial information processing systems. It's convergent evolution at the level of system architecture.
All right. So we've covered the mechanism, the neurological basis, what it reveals about memory, and the AI parallel. What should someone actually do the next time they experience déjà vu?
First, don't panic. It's not a sign you're losing your mind or that reality is glitching. It's a normal cognitive phenomenon experienced by the majority of people. Second, pause and note the context. Research suggests it's more common when you're tired, stressed, or in novel environments that share hidden structural similarities with places you've been before. It's a signal, not a bug.
A signal of what, though?
A signal that your brain's pattern-matching system just found a match. Even if you can't consciously identify what matched, something in the environment, the spatial layout, the sequence of events, the combination of sensory inputs, triggered a familiarity response. Treating it as information rather than an error can actually be useful. Your brain is telling you there's a pattern here. Maybe it's worth paying attention to.
For the engineers and developers listening, the lesson is about the difference between familiarity and accuracy.
That's the core takeaway. Whether in human cognition or in model outputs, the feeling of familiarity is not the same as truth. A response that sounds right, that pattern matches against your expectations, is not necessarily correct. Build systems that verify context, not just systems that pattern match. The hippocampus exists for a reason.
What's the open question here? Where does this research go next?
There are labs actively working on inducing déjà vu deliberately to study consciousness. Akira O'Connor's group and others are using VR and targeted memory reactivation to create controlled déjà vu experiences in the lab. The idea is that if you can trigger the phenomenon reliably, you can study what's happening in the brain in real time with fMRI, or EEG. It becomes a probe into the mechanisms of conscious awareness.
A tool for making the scaffolding visible on demand.
And the other frontier is what happens as AI systems become more memory, augmented. Retrieval-augmented generation architectures are essentially building artificial hippocampi for language models. As those systems get more sophisticated, they may develop their own versions of déjà vu, retrieving a context that feels right but isn't, generating confident output based on a false familiarity signal. Understanding our own glitches might help us design better ones.
Or at least help us recognize them when they show up in our podcast feeds.
We're the canary in the cognitive coal mine.
I have one more question before we wrap. You mentioned earlier that déjà vu is distinct from precognition, and we talked about postdiction. But there's another related phenomenon that I think confuses people. Jamais vu. Can you give us the quick version of how that fits into this picture?
Jamais vu is essentially the opposite of déjà vu. It's the experience of finding something unfamiliar that you know should be familiar. You look at a word you've written 1,000 times, say, the word spoon, and suddenly it looks wrong. Alien, like a random collection of letters. It's what happens when the familiarity system fails to fire despite the presence of a clear episodic memory. If déjà vu is a false positive in the familiarity detector, jamais vu is a false negative. The hippocampus says we definitely know this, but the rhinal cortex stays silent.
It's similarly common.
Most people have experienced it, especially with semantic satiation. That thing where you repeat a word over and over until it loses all meaning. That's a form of jamais vu. The repeated exposure temporarily fatigues the familiarity circuit, and suddenly spoon is just a weird noise. It's the same dual processing system, just failing in the opposite direction.
The whole system is a balancing act between two signals that can drift out of sync in either direction.
Most of the time they stay perfectly synchronized and you never notice them at all. It's only when they drift apart that the machinery becomes visible. Deja vu and jamais vu are the two edges of that visibility window.
Next time you get that eerie feeling that you've lived this moment before, remember, your rhinal cortex just got ahead of your hippocampus. It's not the matrix, it's just your brain being a little too eager to help.
If you're building AI systems, build them a hippocampus. They need one.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The Korean honorific suffix, nim, was adopted as a given name by a small community of Korean-New Zealand fishing families on the Chatham Islands in the 1970s, resulting in several children legally named nim who were addressed as nim-nim by elders attempting to apply formal speech levels to a name that was already an honorific.
The name was the honorific, and the honorific was the name.
I feel like we just experienced linguistic déjà vu.
That's going to loop in my head all day. This has been my weird prompts. If you enjoyed this episode, tell someone about it. Or better yet, leave us a review wherever you listen. We're at myweirdprompts.com. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. See you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.